an incident a few weeks ago at Lafayette High School with a student by the name of Logan Glover and a teacher in a language arts class. And apparently, according to a lawsuit that's been filed this week, the photos that the student, Logan, took in the class that day ended up on his Facebook page. And the teacher was upset about that when she found out about it. And it ended up with Logan getting suspended by the school. I've asked Mark Sabelman, who's the attorney for the Glover family, to join me here on KMOX and explain this, and then we'll hear from Kim Cranston, who's a spokesperson for the Rockwood School District. Hi, Mark. How are you this afternoon?
Good afternoon, Paul. Just fine.
So tell me what happened on November 20th.
Well, Logan is simply a high school kid. He's a sophomore at Lafayette. He likes the school. He's never been in serious trouble. He took a camera to school, which apparently is not at all uncommon. There's no rule that we see against it. And he took some pictures in one of his classes during a free time. There was no lecture going on. There was no class discussion. The teacher was sitting at her desk talking informally to students while apparently other students were doing other things. Nothing salacious about the pictures, nothing really extraordinary. And Logan did what kids do these days. He posted them on Facebook. Facebook is kind of today's teenager photo album. So we really don't see there's anything extraordinary in what happened here.
Okay, so what did the school district explain to Logan?
Well, first of all, nothing happened for several weeks because, as we believe, there was no disruption. Nobody even noticed anything. The pictures weren't even prominent on Facebook. They were just there. And then after several weeks, somebody apparently becomes aware of them, and it appears to us that the school didn't like those pictures being posted on Facebook. And they called Logan in and gave him a 3-day out-of-school suspension. He had to actually be away from school for 3 days, miss classes and everything. And the way it was explained, at least initially, obviously they were upset about what he posted. Even though kids post things on Facebook all the time, and kids have an absolute First Amendment right to post what they wish on Facebook using their home computers at home, outside of school hours.
Does it matter that he was taking the picture on school grounds?
Well, we don't think so. I think the school is now shifted and is claiming that, well, there was a disruption in the classroom, and we're not penalizing Logan for what he did afterwards and posting them. We're penalizing him for a disruption in the class. But come on now. Nobody even noticed it at the time. The teacher didn't know about it. Nobody did anything for several weeks. There was no disruption in the class.
Why did he take the pictures?
I don't know. I mean, kids take pictures. If you look at Facebook, as I've come to do recently because of this case, there are lots and lots of pictures. Kids take pictures. Kids take pictures in hallways. Kids take pictures outside of school. Kids take pictures in class. The pictures that Logan is being punished for are totally not at all out of character with many, many other photos that we have seen by kids at this high school. There's some kids being silly. There's some teachers taking pictures. There's some teachers who's having their pictures taken. There's pictures galore.
When they were posted on Logan's Facebook page, did he include a caption like, "Ooh, look at Ms. Hauser, she's hot," or anything like that?
Not at all. He didn't put any caption on. As a matter of fact, we've seen other pictures where there are, in some cases, disparaging comments about teachers connected to photographs of those teachers. But there was nothing of that sort here.
Is there a school rule against photos?
There are two different school rules, Paul. One is called the beeper, pager, cell phone rule. And it just briefly mentions, don't use cell phones as cameras. But it only relates, the rule titled cell phones, beepers, and pagers. There's also a rule on regular cameras. And the rule on regular cameras says, don't use cameras in locker rooms and where students are receiving medical treatment. So it seems to me, if anyone were to read these rules, they would say, well, there's a rule about cameras. You can't use them in locker rooms where people might be partly closed. You can't use them showing kids receiving medical treatment of any kind. I don't think there's any prohibition in using them elsewhere.
And this was a freestanding camera, not the camera built into his cell phone?
Absolutely.
Okay. Mark, I'm going to ask you to hold on while I talk to Kim. Can you do
sure.
that?
Okay.
That's Mark Sabelman, who is the attorney representing the Glover family. Oh, by the way, before I talk to Kim, what do you want in your lawsuit, Mark?
We want Logan's First Amendment rights vindicated. I think we want a ruling that the school was not allowed to do this. The school is not allowed to censor or punish a student for free expression outside of school. And obviously the suspension should be lifted. Obviously there's damages along the way.
Damages meaning you want money.
Well, there's always got to be something of that nature. I mean, there's also an attorney's fees provision. We certainly want our attorney's fees. The Federal Civil Rights Act says that we're entitled to that if there's been a First Amendment right.
But are you looking for a substantial amount of money from the school district to make this go
away? We haven't gotten into that at this point, Paul.
Okay. Let me bring in Kim Cranston, who's a spokesperson for the Rockwood School District. Hi, Kim. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm fine. Thank you.
So I'll give you just a free opportunity to respond to what Marcus said here.
Sure. Well, first of all, I would say that providing a safe and secure learning environment for all of our students and staff is always a priority in the Rockwood School District. And to ensure that that happens, we have policies and regulations that govern that environment and apply to any disruptions to that environment. In terms of this issue, we know that there were disruptions that occurred, and we have a judge's ruling that says that's exactly what happened. In fact, this last week, the plaintiff filed for a temporary restraining order, and the judge ruled that two disruptions had taken place, the disruption of the classroom while the photos were being taken and a second disruption after the posting on the Internet. And he stated that those disruptions were substantial and that he did not believe the student's conduct was protected by the First Amendment. So we always want to make sure that environment is safe and orderly, as I mentioned before, and always balance those First Amendment rights with that obligation and responsibility to provide that safe environment.
What was the nature of the disruptions?
Well, there were two, as is expressed in the judge's ruling. First of all, that the surreptitious taking of the photographs caused the first one, and then the second one after the posting on the Internet and all of the subsequent discussion that took place at school in the classroom.
And how was that disruptive?
I'm sorry, how was what disruptive?
The discussion of the photographs or after it was posted on Facebook, how did that cause a disruption in the school?
Well, obviously, if that's the topic of conversation among students and that's what they're talking about and they're focused on that instead of the academic environment, that's a disruption. They were off task, spending time talking about that instead of what they should be paying attention to.
Was Ms. Hauser, Jessica Hauser, the teacher in the classroom that day, did she feel like her privacy was invaded?
You know, I don't want to speak for her. But I know that she reported that this was troublesome and worrisome to her because she had no idea this was taking place.
Troublesome in what way?
That someone was taking pictures of her without her knowledge or permission.
I want to go back to the question about the rules in school because Mark told me that there's a beeper pager cell phone rule and another one about cameras themselves. Can you clarify those?
Sure. In fact, there's also another regulation under behavioral expectations that talks about disruptive speech or conduct. So I would also point that one out, where it says that anything, conduct, verbal, written, or symbolic, which materially and substantially disrupts classroom work, school activities, or school functions. So I want to make sure that one's also noted. So when this was presented to the judge, that was also something that was discussed. And again, it's the idea of the disruption, not so much the particular tool that was used in taking the photographs.
If Logan had taken the picture of Ms. Hauser at a Lafayette High School basketball game and posted that on Facebook, would that have been a problem?
You know, I don't know. I think it depends on then what happens after that. Again, the focus being on would those pictures cause a serious disruption to the school day? That's where our focus is what happens in our buildings during the school day.
Has Lafayette or the Rockwood School District ever considered just saying, hey, you know what? No cameras, no cell phones.
You know, we haven't had that discussion in a while, although I will tell you that a number of years ago, cell phones were not allowed on campus, and then after the situation at Columbine, everyone in the country began to really rethink that type of a regulation. And we now allow students to have their cell phones, but we obviously don't want them to have them out during the class day.
So, but there's no rule that says you can only use them in emergency circumstances?
What the It says that they may not be used or be visible on school premises during regular school hours and may not be used during regular school hours as a camera. And then regular school hours are defined as the time beginning 5 minutes before the initial bell and ending 5 minutes after the last period dismissal bell.
So if he had taken out a cell phone and used the camera in the cell phone to take these, that would have been a clear violation of that rule.
Correct.
But Mark says this was not a cell phone camera, but another kind of camera, a standalone camera, and so that's not covered by that rule, right?
I understand that's what he's saying, yes.
Okay. Hold on, Kim. I'm going to get Mark's response, and then I'm going to give you the last word. Mark, you want to respond to what Kim said?
Sure. Let me just clarify about what the judge did. We went in for a temporary restraining order, which is, you know, extraordinary relief. That's what it's called in the law, extraordinary relief. We wanted to get the suspension lifted before it finished, but of course it was a 3-day suspension, so we essentially went in asking for the judge to lift the suspension for the final day. Judge Sippel did not believe that I made out the overwhelming case for that extraordinary relief. That does not mean he's prejudging the entire case. He is certainly not. And he certainly also never said that there was anything where you could pin disruption on discussion afterwards. The law is absolutely, absolutely clear that if discussion ensues because of expressive activity, that is not something that the government can punish. That is what our country is all about, is having discussion. Discussion is good, and if something prompts discussion, that's not an evil, that's a good. And I find it very troubling that a school is saying, discussion of public issues is bothersome to us. We want to cut that off and we want to punish that. I think also we should note that it seems to me I'm a little bit like a shell game. Well, first it's the cell phone rule, but then we point out that it's not a cell phone. Well, then we get to a camera rule that doesn't exist when the only camera rule that's there by every implication says you can do what he did. Now they're saying, well, it's a third rule. It's the no disruption rule. Well, if we can pin substantial disruption on taking of photographs that nobody notices, then it seems to me we've given school officials absolute unbridled discretion to claim anything as substantial disruption. And there's another inconsistency as well. Back when they were on shell number one, the cell phone rule, if you read the punishments for the violation of the cell phone rule, there can only be the kind of punishment Logan received if it's a substantial disruption from the taking of the picture. How can there have been a substantial disruption about something that nobody noticed during this wide open free time?
All right, Mark, before I let you go, let me make this personal for you. You work at Thompson Coburn. Let's say one of your coworkers or an intern in the office is walking by your office while you're sitting at the desk talking to me on your telephone right now, and they come by and they walk up to you with a camera and they take your picture, and then they post that on their MySpace or Facebook page. You going to have a problem with that of any kind?
Not at all.
You wouldn't consider it a problem if later on everybody in the office was talking about that picture because maybe you had a goofy look on your face?
Well, you know, I probably do have a lot of goofy looks on my face. The only thing I would complain about, Paul, is most likely that photograph would make it look like I don't have very much hair. But the fact of the matter is, that's true, so I'm really not gonna, I don't really have any grounds to complain about it.
Yeah, I can't relate to that at all, Mark. I've got a full head of scalp myself. Hang on. Kim, I'm going to give you the last word, but first I want to know, has Logan, in addition to this suspension, been moved to another teacher's class because of Ms. Hauser's concerns?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
And then I would just like to respond. First of all, certainly at no time did I say that public discussion is not good in a public school. Obviously, we have public discussion all the time. The difference here is not the public discussion, but the fact that the conversation was focused on something that was very disruptive to the school day and what had occurred. It was not a blanket public discussion is bad. Secondly, in terms of the different policies, the pieces of the policy, those are just different components of that same regulation. It all comes under the student code of conduct. And it says that if those are used in such a way to substantially disrupt the school environment, the student may be suspended for up to 10 school days out of school. So again, I just want to make sure that our focus is where it should be, and that is on that safe, orderly environment in a public school location. And as a public school system, we have an obligation and responsibility to provide that for all of our students and staff. And if that is significantly disrupted, as are the judge had indicated with the denial of the restraining order, then we certainly exercise our discipline policies.
How often does your school district run into this? How big a problem are we talking about here?
This particular situation?
No, or similar situations with kids with cell phones in school or cameras in school and putting things on MySpace and Facebook and all that sort of stuff.
Well, I think those are separate issues. I don't know how many students have been disciplined for having their cell phones out when they weren't supposed to. I don't have those discipline records in front of me, so I really wouldn't know.
But this isn't something that comes across your desk every day?
No.
Kim, I appreciate your time today. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And thank you also to Mark Sableman, who is the attorney for the Glover family. Thank you, Mark.
Pleasure to talk to you.